Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Elliot Friedman will join us in 1 hour. We are less than a week away, people, from the NHL draft at Bridgestone Arena, so we'll get all of Elliot's thoughts on the draft and what is to come in the next few days leading up to the NHL draft. So looking forward to that with Elliot Friedman in 1 hour. But I wanted to get to this because I think this was something that kind of slid under the radar. It wasn't really reported on a lot until I saw this article on Pro Football Talk. So the NFL on Tuesday afternoon hosted a media conference call, and you know, several outlets from around the country that covers the NFL, you know, ESPN, CBS Sports, Fox Sports, so on and so forth, were invited to participate in this conference call on gambling. I mean, as we have known, since Calvin Ridley got popped for gambling on the NFL, he was suspended for a year. We've seen so many other players come out and it be revealed that they were also in violation of the league's gambling policy, whether it was gambling on an NFL game or, in Jameson Williams' case, Detroit wide receiver, gambling on an NFL property, whether that's, you know, the practice facility, whether that's a stadium, whether that's so on and so forth. So obviously that called for some sort of call to action, some sort of discussion about, okay, how are we going to move forward with this? Clearly, there is a gap in communication between the league and the players about what the gambling policy really is. So on that conference call on Tuesday, the NFL revealed their six key rules for the players, at least clarified the six key rules for players. One, don't bet on the NFL. Clear. Two, don't gamble at your team facility while traveling for a road game or staying at a team hotel. Three, don't have someone bet for you. Four, don't share team inside information. Don't enter a sports book during the NFL playing season. And don't play daily fantasy football. Those are the top rules. Number one overall, just to clarify, do not bet on the NFL, even if it's just a dollar, if it's $1,000, if it's $1 million. Do not bet on the NFL. This has been obviously a big thing in the NFL over the last year, really, specifically the past couple of months. Why do you think the NFL held this meeting, especially with media? And do we think that these clarifications of the key rules are going to fix this trend that we've seen in the NFL in gambling?
I'll give you two things that I think tie together. Charlie Baker had that conversation at the College World Series, the brand new Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA. Mm-hmm. And he said their studies, as they try to navigate what's coming here, about gambling in general. They polled college students, not necessarily just student athletes, because obviously student athletes aren't supposed to be betting, but college students now. And look, when I was in college, nobody had cell phones, but there were some people that did some betting, whether they just did it on their own freshman hall or dorm room hall. The fraternity had a guy that was doing stuff, or there was a real bookie that people did. There was different levels of it, but it was going on some. But what they found is now with the phones and the amount of time kids are spending on their phone, that a lot of college-age kids are gambling, right? It's so easy. It's legal. It's right there. So that's who's graduating into the league every year. Kids that have grown up with this on their phone, and they're on their phone all the time. So you're coming in with habits a lot of times. And so these NFL players are going to have to change their habits. And you had this other article recently saying that a lot of the players, and Derek, you and I were talking about this. It was one of the Fridays that Caroline was at a wedding. Can't remember which one. There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them.
But there were a lot of the players that were sort of unnamed in this article saying, huh, I didn't know. I didn't know you couldn't do that. That easily could have been me and not the guys for the Lions that got nailed.
Right.
Right? They were like, oh, man, they got nailed for that. We did that. You know, like, so this is coming as a shock to a lot of players. So I think that's why the urgency here. But when you're taking all these millions of dollars and it's legal and there's habits, I don't see how all these guys are going to break the habit. What are you supposed to do?
They're going to have to.
Help.
Yeah, they're going to have to break
addiction.
It. Yeah. They're going to have to break the habit because, again, the NFL is reacting to things that have happened over the course of the last two seasons, where last year was one or two guys, you know, maybe a few more. But then this year, come to find out, there's even more guys that have bet on whatever, but on NFL ground. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen all the guys that are suspended for this season, not for the whole season, but portions of the season. Not necessarily because they bet on NFL games. One guy did, and he admitted to it. But because they bet on NFL grounds, like the property of the NFL. It could have been a prop bet for basketball, but they did it while they were on NFL grounds. In the NFL, as they have been, you know, you think they would have learned. But I don't think they thought that prior to last season – they thought that it would become what it is. Like, guys would, you know, be caught betting, not necessarily on NFL games, but betting on NFL grounds. I don't think they ever thought that would be a possibility in the sense of so many guys doing it and getting caught and then getting suspended. Mm-hmm. But now they're reacting to it. Now they want to make sure that, you know, they just want to reiterate. I don't think there's any new rules in here. Per se, I think they want to highlight the rules that are already in place, bullet point them, and make sure these guys truly understand. Because I can go, there's roughly about, 15 to 1,700 players in the NFL. Prior to all of this, I could probably go to all 15 to 1,700 of them, and I guarantee you there will be more than half that couldn't tell you what the, like, truly tell you what the gambling rules were.
Because they weren't paying attention. Yeah, they weren't paying attention.
Exactly. Yeah. And it wasn't really, like, pressed on them. Like, we're going to, discuss that. These are bullet points. Like, highlight this. Right. No, it was just a part of, okay, we're just going to discuss everything, and that is a part of everything, you know? But now the NFL is making it a priority. Like, in red caps, like, no betting.
This graphic put out by the NFL, it is literally red capital letters that, like, are underlined in bold.
No betting anymore. Yeah. But then you run into, okay, you're asking your players not to bet, which I get it, you know. I think it's a little silly to say, well, you can't bet on other sports. Okay, whatever.
But also, if it's going to be this big of an issue, mm-hmm. and if it's going to catch so many players – then just say no betting at all. Yeah. Because if you're an employee of the league or an employee of an individual team in the NFL, you can't bet on anything. You can't even step into a casino. So why are the rules different for players? I feel like that just creates too much gray area. Clearly, if we're going to see as many players get caught for this as we have, it creates too much gray area. Just say no betting at all.
Because they're in bed with these betting companies. And these players are making a lot of money, and they know players like going to Vegas and all this other stuff.
It's good for business.
Exactly. It's good for business. Yeah. I'm not going to tell them they can't bet at all.
Well, they tell other employees they can't bet
at
all.
Yeah, that's different. They're not making the money.
A players association.
They're not, you know, the buddies are not, you know, going out and 10 of them going to Vegas and plopping down. You know, you've heard the stories. We've all heard the stories. 50,000 here, 100,000 here. Guys losing millions of dollars.
Yeah, there was a report of a guy that lost $8
million. Yeah, so it's like they're not going to stop that. They don't want to stop it.
Why? But
they're in bed with them.
Well, but it's this is where the people that were worried about this are going to come back. Mm-hmm. Because if you're too blasé about it, mm-hmm. and it's good for business. And like, hey, we're taking the money. We gotta let them do what's legal. What you worry about is a couple of those things on that list that mm-hmm. I don't think are being emphasized as much, and that is insider information.
Yeah, what does that classify as?
And don't bet through another person. There's no way you can enforce that, but that's where you could really get into some sticky situations mm-hmm. of a game that doesn't go well, shady stuff happening, and you're like, wait a minute. Some people got some insider information, mm-hmm. or a player that was compromised that has lost $8 million mm-hmm. and is in over his head. He's got a gambling problem, and now it's like, how do I get that money back? Well, I know some people. I mean, just the old-fashioned things you used to always hear.
Well, I guess
you're sharing information, you get out of a hole. I mean, these are all things that I think are just human nature. That's what happens when there's a lot of betting going on.
I think when they mean insider information, this is what I hope they mean, like playbook stuff. Like, you can't.
Well, injuries would be the number one.
Well, you
thing,
can't
right?
even say that because we know what the injuries are.
Well, I
for
remember,
the most part, like, we know, like, when the guys get to talking, they will. Are you playing? How's the ankle? Oh, it's 70%, 60%. You know, I'm almost ready. Coach, how's such and such doing? Well, you know, he's not practicing today. We hope to get him back tomorrow. He's looking good, yada, yada. He's a game time decision, yada, yada, whatever. Or he's just completely out. So,
but I remember 2 years ago, I believe it was a Colts-Raiders game. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere, on like a Wednesday, Thursday afternoon, out of nowhere, the Colts became overwhelming underdogs. Overwhelming underdogs. Mm-hmm. When at this point, the Raiders and the Colts were kind of evenly matched. And everyone was wondering why that was. And then it came out like 2-ish hours later that Carson Wentz was injured and wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. So nobody heard about this. Not the NFL insiders. Not, you know, it wasn't public information that Carson Wentz was injured.
But how did the gambling people find out about it?
Inside information. Probably.
From who?
I don't know. I mean, that's I guess somebody within the Colts organization. I don't know. That's the question. That's why we always say, what does Vegas know that we don't? And that's what they want to avoid. I think that's the number one thing that NCAA, NFL, MLB, all of these major leagues and organizations, that's their biggest fear with getting into bed with these
yes.
sports books
and
is
you're, and you're not
compromising
gonna be able to
the game.
Do it. You're not going to be able to. You can't have all these superstars like the Manning family say, come on, get place your bets here with my company. And then, like, oh, but don't gamble, guys. You can't do it. I mean, this is, we're going to get in trouble. No insider information. How can you reconcile that? That's not easy.
Well, they've been doing it forever, Willie. So this is nothing different. They reconcile promoting alcohol and beer on television, but
that's
then
true.
Telling, hey, you can't do this, you can't do that, but you're endorsing it. So they've been doing it. Companies do it. You know, they promote one thing. And then once you do that one thing, they say, well, don't do it or this
right.
is what will happen to you.
The
so,
moral part is one. I'm yeah. worried about the competition on the field. What you don't want is to have games where you're like, what was going on there? Was something going on with insider information? Did somebody, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if there's a suspicion that the games aren't on the level, that's different than we're promoting a bad habit, you know, drinking too much or
right.
gambling, if whatever you feel like is wrong, if you can't do it in moderation. That's another thing. There's going to be people that get addicted mm-hmm. to gambling, and football players are part of the society that they will have people that get addicted to, mm-hmm. to gambling and lose a lot of money. And that's what you worry about. Somebody's in a situation like that where they feel like, this is my only way out. I got to throw a game or something like that.
Well, I don't even think
and that's the NFL's biggest fear. They want to maintain
right.
the integrity
yeah.
of the shield.
But they used to be able to do that without saying, well, we're not taking any money from these gamblers, but now they're taking the money, and they're still, that's their biggest fear, is that something like that will happen. So I don't know if one increases the mm-hmm. chances of that happening.
Let's continue the conversation on the other side, because Derek, you point out a potential, you know, hypocrisy in this, the NFL breaking down or cracking down on gambling, but they're in bed with some of the sports books. I have a thought on that and some other kind of holes that I've poked in some of these rules from the NFL. We'll get into that coming up next. And of course, your thoughts as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
So it was interesting. I after you, we all talked last week about sovereign wealth funds, right? And this idea of, like, let's say the Saudis coming in and buying a team or whatever. I talked to a bunch of executives, started working on a story that's going to run, actually, I think today. And I brought up the gambling aspect. And one of the things that this executive said that I thought was really interesting, he said, look, the reason why our embrace of gambling is different than the idea of Saudi money coming in or sovereign wealth funds coming in and owning a team is, they said, that only affects one team. He said the reason why gambling is so much of an overarching issue and why everyone has to come into some kind of agreement together on it is because it really does raise all boats. Yes, it raises the revenues for teams. No question about that. It makes owners richer. But it also significantly raises the ability of the salary cap to go higher and higher and higher. So it raises all boats for the NFLPA as well. And so everyone needs to be a direct partner in this embrace of gambling. And so sort of what he said was, we got off into the side tangent about gambling. He said there needs to be just an agreement for players when they enter the league. They have to understand we're all in this together. If you want to play professional football, you're not going to be allowed to gamble while you're a professional athlete for us. And that's how it's going to be. And the reason for that is the collective good. You might not be able to see it right in your paycheck, but I guarantee you're making more money in the NFL, and you're going to be closer to getting your pension, and your pension's going to be enriched, and your benefits are going to be enriched.
That was Charles Robinson on with Robbie and Rexford a couple of weeks ago, right when we started to see some more of these cases come out of players in the NFL violating the league's gambling policy. Caroline William DeMays is brought to you by the New Zen Sportsbook. With cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible, betting just got better. Download the Zen Sportsbook app today. So the NFL had this media conference call on Tuesday afternoon to address the gambling policies. Mm-hmm. And Ian Rappaport put out this graphic that the NFL put out of the 6 key rules for all NFL players as it pertains to gambling. Now, I kind of poked a few holes in some of these rules that kind of prove that, yeah, I mean, like, these rules do seem a little bit double-sided or maybe a little bit hypocritical. Derek, you pointed one out of how can the NFL tell the players to do a certain thing whenever they're making so much money from these sports books? I mean, like, you can't watch a single NFL game without seeing several sports book ads. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a Caesar Superdome, for crying out loud.
But it's in your face.
It's in your face. But I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. Because just because the NFL has these partnerships with the sports books, I don't think automatically should give players free rein to do whatever they want. I mean, if I'm working in social media for the Tennessee Titans, I can't gamble. Mm-hmm. So why can Derrick Henry, and I'm just using those people as examples, mm-hmm. Derrick Henry bet on a college football game at his house if he wants?
I mean, there are several sort of issues, I guess, in regards to this. I was reading an article in 2018. Now, this is what, 2 years, well, 5 years removed now. And they were talking, the headline was, Patriots Robert Kraft and Cowboys Jerry Jones retain DraftKings stakes amid shift to sportsbook. Now, what the article says is, well, they only own, a small percentage in DraftKings. Let me read verbatim. And it's quickly. It said New England owner Robert Kraft and Dallas owner Jerry Jones have retained their investments in DraftKings. Sources confirmed to ESPN, even as the company has shifted some of its focus from daily fantasy to traditional sports betting. Kraft and Jones' stake in DraftKings are said to be small, less than 5%, according to the source. In court disclosure, the 21st Century Fox was the only company listed as owning 10% or more, the Cowboys spokesman. And then they went on to say, DraftKings is through, their investment is through sports hospitality company called Legends, not the team. But it's ironic that Jones has stake in Legends as well. He's the principal owner, mm-hmm. along with Steinbrenner in Legends. So this is how you sort of circumvent. You say, well, no, we don't have nothing to do with it. It's only a small part. But then over here, Legends, you have a huge stake in it, which is, a part of what you're doing. So you try to hide it by trying, you try to be so far removed from it that they can't attach you to it, but they can because you own a large part of Legends.
They're very much so.
Exactly. You're in bed. You're in bed heavy with them. Let's say you're in bed much more than what you're telling people.
Right.
Both of you. So my thing is this. If you want to tell the players not to vote, not to bet, and you should. Players shouldn't bet.
I mean, that compromises the integrity of the game.
Absolutely. So I'm not saying that the NFL shouldn't make money off of these sites, but you shouldn't own stake in that site. Like, you shouldn't own stake in a DraftKings when DraftKings is being used by players. And you're telling them, well, you can't use DraftKings when you're on the grounds, during the season. Basically, during the season, you cannot bet. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
You cannot bet. So why then should I have even a small amount a stake in this company because we're getting money regardless. Because you have to pay us to sort of, you know, be a part of what we're doing as far as the NFL. You, DraftKings, or anybody else got to pay us to be a part of what we're doing. So why then do I have to own 5% of what you're doing, you know, as a individual? I'm getting money already. So now I'm getting money on top of money. Because now I have a stake in what you're doing, not only from a NFL standpoint, but from a personal standpoint. Listen, I'm all about making money, but if you're telling the players and the workers, y'all can't gamble, y'all can't bet, especially on NFL grounds, then why do I have stake in that said company that I'm telling y'all not to bet with?
I guess it's two different things. You know, it's I see where you're coming from 100%. Mm-hmm. The way that I view it is the owner, they're a business person.
Yeah, I'm all about business, making the money, making as much money as you possibly can. If you're doing it legally, then do it. But you can't tell me no. But then you have stake in a company that you're telling me I can't get involved with, at least during the season.
I think because as an owner, and it would be the NFL telling individual players, not individual owners, but yes, that the owners are just, that's business that they're buying into, and it's an investment.
It's an investment, I get that.
For the players, it's, okay, well, you are actually physically playing this game, and it is shady, and it compromises the integrity of the game if you have any sort of financial involvement in it.
Can a player be an investor in DraftKings or any other one of these draft sites that are out?
See, that's a great question.
That's a good question.
Because
I see why not.
I still worry about the fundamental question is, can you do all this stuff and not put yourself in a more vulnerable position than before all this was legal, before this world has happened, right? Does it increase the chances of scandal and black socks kind of thing where you have, you know, it's games that are compromised? And then you have the worry of, hey, it's professional wrestling, right? It's the fix is in. Like, you guys already admit you love the conspiracy theories, right?
Yes.
That's all
fun.
I love conspiracy.
That's all fun. But can you imagine if there were one or two documented cases of people throwing games and enough of it snowballed because people were in a bad financial position or whatever, could you trace it back to this issue that we're talking about? That's why you have to try to protect that at all costs. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to dabble in this. Well, we got these billions of dollars coming in from all these companies. How can we resist? So I see the temptation, but are you making yourself vulnerable because of it?
I wonder what the league would say, for instance. We love Zen Sports, right?
We love Zen Sports.
We love Zen Sports. Go on Zen Sports app, please, people. Zen Sports, sports book, okay, where sports just got better, you know, here in Nashville. Okay,
sure.
But, okay, if I'm a player and Zen Sports come to me, the great people over at Zen Sports, they come to me as a player and say, Derek, we have this opportunity for you to be an investor in our company. They lay out everything. I got my people. You know, they're looking over everything, and it's like, okay, this sounds like a good deal here. And they said, well, Derek, we'll give you, you know, 3% of the stake of the company or 5%, whatever. Not much, but just enough. And I'm like, okay, cool. Do you think if I took that to the NFL and told them what they would say? Hell no!
Why?
They wouldn't want us to be in bed with them. They just wouldn't. Because then to them, that's compromising the integrity of the game, because I have stake in a Zen Sports, who I believe will be the best sport betting site in the world pretty soon here, if not already. I want to be in bed with them as a player. I'm talking about, this is just an investment for me.
Right.
I'm doing
it.
I know people love sports. It's not like I'm trying to, you know, circumvent or make bets on the side. No, I'm doing this purely as a investor in a company that I believe that is going to excel. So why can't I put money on that company? But the NFL is going to look at me like I'm crazy. Like, no, you can't do that.
I don't know what the rules are, but my impression of that is a player investing into a sports book, to me, is a lot less threatening to the integrity of the game than a player actually betting.
I'm not arguing with you with that.
I honestly, and maybe this is me being naive and not knowing enough about the business of sports books and investing into sports books, I don't see any problem with that because it's just another business. Like, if you want to invest in
there's no difference
a
in
shoe
investing
company,
in the, right. Yeah. Yeah. The shoe, I was exactly. going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, like if I want to invest in Nike, that doesn't make me any less any better or worse of a player if I invest in Nike because I'm wearing Nike cleats. The same thing with Zen Sports. It's just a partnership that I have.
But
it doesn't
NFL,
mean that I'm going to drop a pass intentionally because I'm an investor of Zen Sports. No, that doesn't make any sense.
But the NFL would probably look at that as totally different than what we are looking at it at.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Ask how many guys are invested in alcohol right now. How many guys that are currently playing that are invested in a alcohol brand, like investors in an alcohol brand?
I don't know.
Probably not at all.
I don't know.
Check out the league rules on that. I don't
can you
think
not
that,
invest in a liquor
you
company?
Can. I don't think you can be. You have okay, I'm going to say this. Have you seen any current player advertise any alcohol?
I was thinking about that because there's a certain beer company, no free shout outs,
okay,
that has a lot of former athletes on their yes, like Tony Romo, Sue Bird. But I don't know if there is a rule against current players, whether NFL
it may or may not. League. Now, I've seen basketball, they have a beer ad with because Jimmy Butler's in one of the beer ads, and then I forget the lady, the WNBA player. That it is. I think she may be.
I think
retired.
Diana Taurasi might be in one.
Yeah. So I don't know how NFL, I mean, NBA operates their collective bargaining, their whole rules. But I'm just sitting here. I'm like, do the NFL have players, like current players, that are promoting, you know, like alcohol? I don't know.
I don't know.
I would love to find out.
But if I'm the NFL, I don't really know why I would have a problem with it because it's not like the NFL tells players you can't drink.
Yeah, you're right.
That's on you. 615-737-1025. Let's continue the conversation on the other side because there was another aspect of this that I was shocked to see the NFL not address. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Whitley, D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game at Nashville app. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, the 32 Thoughts podcast, will join us in 30 minutes. We'll get all of his thoughts and his breakdown on the NHL draft coming up in less than a week. Right now, we're breaking down the league's media conference call on Tuesday addressing gambling. And the NFL clarified the six major rules surrounding NFL players and gambling, the biggest being can't gamble on the NFL and you cannot do it at in NFL buildings. So, you know, practice facilities, stadiums, so on and so forth. But in these six rules, and I will read them out, don't bet in the NFL, don't gamble at your team facility, don't have someone bet for you, don't share team inside information, don't enter a sports book during the NFL playing season, and don't play daily fantasy football. There was one that I was really shocked to see was not addressed, and I guess it's maybe
was
above
not.
The NFL was not addressed.
Oh, okay.
It may be above the NFL's pay grade, but what does the NFL do about a player that does not bet on an NFL game and does not do it inside a team facility, but does it in a state where sports betting is illegal? Because if you play for the Houston Texans, the Dallas Cowboys, the Atlanta Falcons, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Minnesota Vikings, the LA Rams, the LA Chargers, San Francisco 49ers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, or the Miami Dolphins, 10 teams, you legally cannot bet in those states. Because sports betting is illegal in all of those states. And if you're, let's say it's in the middle of the season, and you're at your home, and it's not an NFL game, let's say you were at your house and you want to bet on tennis. Technically, that's illegal. Because it's not legal.
Like if you're
states.
On one of these sites or one of these apps on your phone and you're in that state, does it block? Does it automatically block if
it does.
Your location?
It does. But you can.
There's probably ways. Well, that's what I was thinking. Is there's probably ways around it? But they probably have that data if they want to find it, right? So it's how hard is the NFL going to look to find it? Because obviously they're not looking that hard. If you had all these unnamed players in this article saying, "Hey, we were betting, like we had our little thing going," you know, like they're admitting that they're having to change their habits. And some of this was news to them. It wasn't emphasized very much. And so you have people that have some habits that are built in.
Because I don't think, I'm not going to say that the NFL hasn't paid attention to it, but I think there hasn't been enough, you know, things that have happened to force them to pay attention to.
And the horse kind of got out of the barn a little bit.
This forced them to pay attention to it. What has occurred the last 2 years or the last two seasons, it has forced the NFL's hand. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about it more. We need to, you know, be out in front of it. Well, you're not out in front of it. You're behind it because it's already out.
Right.
You know, so now you got to try to, you know, try to bring it all back in and explain to these guys that, listen, we don't have, I don't think they have any, well, I think the one new rule here is the events now, they've sort of broadened the circle. They've made the circle bigger. No longer can you, I don't think you could bet on an NFL draft, but you can't bet on a combine. You can't bet on Pro Bowls. You can't bet on flag football events or NFL honors. You can't bet on any of that anymore, which makes sense. I get that. So the NFL has sort of broadened the circle as far as make the circle bigger as far as what we want to be able to try to protect. Again, this is – I'm not going to say it hasn't been a big deal for the NFL because this, above all things else, above all other things, and I hate to say it, when it comes to domestic violence, all of it, nothing trumps betting. Nothing.
Which is
illegal betting. Yeah. Nothing in the NFL trumps that. Because what that does, it compromises the integrity of the game. And once the integrity of the game is compromised, it's hard to get that back. Once people, you know, if something happens and it gets out that this guy betting on games, this guy betting on games, this coach giving out information. Now, as a casual fan that loves to bet, I'm not betting on this. I can't because I don't know that what's going on the field is actually, you know, what's supposed to be going on.
Well,
you know
what I'm
saying?
That's the number one thing the NFL wants to do.
And then Vegas don't want that either because now it messes up their money. So above all things, whatever's in the NFL's rule book and collective bargaining, when it comes to betting, they're not playing. They're not. These agents have told these guys, the NFL have told NFLPA, listen, these betting sites, people, they are telling on y'all. They are giving names out. Stop it.
I think this is what I think the NFL should do. No betting.
Yeah, just across the board.
You
no betting across the board.
Tennis, you can't bet on tennis. You can't bet on baseball. You can't bet at home. You can't bet at the facility. You can't bet on any of that because the NFL could say, look, we tried. We tried to give you as long of a leash as possible and look at what happened here.
But can you imagine the amount of people that will get caught?
But that's on them. I mean, I'm not going to change the rules just because I'm afraid of people breaking
them. Okay, but we know that this is an addictive habit for some. Right, for hopefully the majority of people, enough people, they can do this in moderation, do it smartly, and not get themselves in trouble. But we know that that doesn't always happen, just like with alcohol or anything else. Yeah. There's some people that can drink responsibly and then people that have a problem. Just like in society, there's going to be football players that have a problem. You can tell them all you want. You can't gamble. Or you can even try to say, you can't gamble on football. You can gamble on everything else. Either way, you're going to have a problem. But the problem becomes bigger if you're telling them you can't gamble at all.
I would say
because
that's
they're
on
already
the
in the habit. When they come into the league, they're already in a habit of gambling. And then that gambling, you have more money, you gamble more. Mm-hmm. It stands to reason. It's not going to happen to everybody, but it's going to happen to some people. And it could happen to a star player that all of a sudden you're like, oh, man.
Well, if I'm the NFL, I would say that is probably, you know, the NFL's responsibility to provide any support that a player might need. It's the same thing with all of other things that are not allowed by the NFL that unfortunately are addictive. Drugs, for example. I would hope that individual teams or the league itself would provide counseling, would provide rehabilitation for those players that might need it. Mm-hmm. I would just say that all of these gray areas and the hoops that the NFL has to jump through to make sure that what is being bet is under the league's policy, it feels like a whole lot of work. And I know it doesn't feel fair that, you know, all of these individual owners and the league itself are making a bunch of money from sports books, but I think with the NFL, as well as any other job, you give up certain liberties to be able to work in that job, to play in that league. And betting might just be one of those things, one of those liberties that you give up to represent the NFL.
Well, it would be nice if the NFL could do that, to say a clean slate, nobody bets, you know, our 5% stake, we're going to, you know, sell it off, and we're not going to have like a personal stake in a company. We're just going to sell it off because we want to set the example as far as not betting or having close ties, meaning investments in betting sites. So we're going to, you know, do all this and make sure across the board everything is great. That sounds good. And, you know, the NFL could try it. I don't think it would fly. I think the NFLPA would fight that tooth and nail, you know, and I think betting companies, I think Vegas would fight that tooth and nail as well, you know, because you just don't want to, again, as good as it sounds, you just don't want to strip guys of their ability to just, you know, be an average, just to be an everyday person outside of, you know, the football world. Now, I understand during the season, no betting. I understand that. But guys like going to Vegas. Girls like going to Vegas. You know, and when you're in Vegas, you'll walk through the gambling place or casino. I call it a gambling place. Casino. And you want to make a bet. Or you walk into a sports bar and they get all set up.
You walk past Pete Rose.
And you want to make a bet. Right. You want to make a bet.
I should probably be there.
Exactly. I should be able to make a bet if it's not during the season. You know, now during the season, different story.
Yeah.
You know, but after the season's done, whenever my season is done, I should be able to bet. Now, if my season's done, the playoffs going, I can't bet on that playoff game. Mm-hmm. I still can't bet on the NFL game. But I can bet on a college game. I can bet on women's tennis. I can bet on men's tennis. I can bet on WNBA. I can do all of that. But I just can't bet on the NFL, whether I'm in the playoffs or not.
It comes down to this. When you're making your rules, is how are you going to enforce it? And how many people do you want to try to catch? And because I'll give you the example from way back. It used to be appalling to some sports fans. Oh, my gosh, the NBA doesn't have marijuana on the banned substance list? You mean the players could smoke all the marijuana? This is crazy.
Yeah.
But the league decided, hey, look, a lot of the guys are smoking marijuana.
Yeah, and there are some that are
and
not.
So we're not going to drug test for it. It's just easier to just let it go. And say, look, you shouldn't do this, but we're not going to test for it.
Exactly.
And it was just easier because they didn't have to go try to chase everybody down. The NFL, on the other hand, they were drug tested. And they made the rules pretty widespread. Like, just do this and be okay on this date, and then you're all right. But if you get on the list, we got to come after you. Poor Travis Henry got tested every 2 weeks, it seemed like, for a while, because he got repeat offender status.
The NFL, especially with that, the NFL was telling you, listen, we know y'all smoking.
And we
don't want to catch y'all, so this is what we're going to do.
Don't you think there's a little bit of the gambling with it, right?
We're going to tell y'all when we're testing, what time we're testing, what group we're testing, and we're only going to test once.
Right.
That's it.
So don't be an idiot.
Don't do it.
If you're going to be dumb, at least be smart.
Right, so don't you think there's a little bit of the game? Look, we're going to let you all gamble. You can go to Vegas. You can do everything.
Just don't
bet on the grounds, and don't bet on the NFL. If you can do those two things,
we're good.
Smart, we're good.
But what if we can't do those two things? Then you lose your privilege. I think the same thing. Let's weed, for example. Like, if you get 20, 25, 30, 35 players that are all, you know, positive for marijuana, even when we tell you, when we're drug testing you, maybe it might change. Maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But I do think that at some point, if we start to see more players get cracked for gambling, even when the NFL has tried to make it very clear. That's why they invited the media to this conference call. Hey, look, we're doing something about it.
Transparency.
Yeah, look at us. We're changing the rules. Look at us, everybody. Ian Rappaport, tweet it from your account. These are the rules. If they do that and they still can't change things, they might have to change the way that they approach betting. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get your thoughts on that. Elliot Freeman in 15 minutes. 1025-1063 the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063 the game in the Game Nashville app. Catch the Rackley Roofing 200, Tennessee Lottery 250, and the Ally 400 on 1025 and 1063 the game on June 23rd through 25th. Coverage presented by Richmar Florist, a top 100 florist company in the country and a proud sponsor of Nashville Super Speedway. We've got some thoughts in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bicycle Boy texts in with a fair question. What's the NHL's gambling policy? Like, I don't know the gambling policies of other leagues because I don't know if I've ever heard of a player outside of the NFL getting cracked for gambling.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody from the NBA. I mean, obviously the whole
ref Major League Baseball for that matter.
Yeah, no. Players.
Other than Pete.
Now, of course, baseball has always had the policy. You cannot bet on baseball. Mm-hmm. Like that is, and I would imagine that if you want to answer the question in as simple as possible, you cannot gamble on your sport. I'm fairly certain that that is the case for the NHL and Major League Baseball and the NBA. You obviously cannot bet on your sport. I don't know if there are, I don't know about it. I don't know what the Players Association in any of these three leagues have. I would imagine, though, that if you wanted to make a bet on a college football game, if you're an NHL player or a Major League Baseball player, I would imagine you can do that if it's legal in your state.
So, right? Willie, this is from April, just to affirm it. Now, this is what I thought originally. NHL prohibits players from gambling on league games. So I'm assuming anything else is fair game. So it's just like the NFL in this argument that we've been already having. So you just can't do all the hockey games.
Now, what we don't know, I don't know if there's any detail on that that you're looking at, Nick, about can you, let's say you're just coming in on the day of a game at an NBA arena or an NHL arena or a Major League ballpark, and you come to the park and you get with your buddies like, all right, let's bet on our alma maters. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Michigan State against Michigan. Let's put a little bet down. Or D-Mace, it's Vanderbilt against Michigan State. Let's can you do that on the grounds in those sports?
In the Major League?
As opposed to the NFL? I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I have no idea. Which begs the question, why is this has seemed to be really only a problem in the NFL?
It's a great question.
Is it the nature of the rule? Is it the way that the NFL has communicated the rule?
It may be because it's the biggest dog on the block.
What do you mean?
The NFL. It's the biggest sport in America. And
there's a lot more money at stake.
And, you know, they're moving. Now they're moving to cities that gambling is legal. So much so that gambling, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, don't they have like a gambling book? Like right there where the Vegas Stadium is?
Probably.
Oh, tons of them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of places now where that is
It's a part
common.
Of the
You can
stadium.
Go up to the window. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a bigger deal with the NFL because the money is bigger.
Maybe so.
The sport is bigger. For instance.
But individual players being, violating the NFL policy.
I think it's because – and we discussed it earlier, players, and I'm not sitting here saying players don't know the rules, because players do. We all know the rules that goes on throughout, the rules of the NFL. They tell us what the rule is. But I think you're starting to see more guys, or have seen more guys, and the potential of seeing more guys. And I guarantee you this, NBA, MLB, NHL is watching the NFL now. And I guarantee you, they're making sure, hey, listen, we need to make sure we got our ducks in a row, make sure we are really pounding the table from the inside on this betting thing with players. We, on the next players, PA meeting in whatever sport it is, basketball, baseball, hockey, I guarantee you this will be a point of emphasis because they're watching what the NFL is going through with this whole, you know, betting thing. But, you know, it's become easier for players to bet.
Yes.
And
it's so accessible.
We're the only sport that we have 6 days, typically 6 days in between the next time we play. So we got a lot of sort of leisure time to make bets and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Hockey, they're all constantly playing. It's just like we don't even have time to bet. Baseball, they ain't got time to bet. Hell, they ain't got time to do much of anything, I don't think. They play too many damn games. Basketball is the same way. Football to me, and this just could be
football
sort
players
of,
not busy enough.
It to me is not like a it's more of a sort of small thing.
Yeah.
But when you have the time to do things, then you're going to do them. And I'm not saying betting is bad because I don't think it's bad. It's only as bad as you make it.
The like only you bad can make thing it about irresponsible. It is if you're breaking the NFL rules.
If you're breaking rules, or if you're addicted to betting. Mm-hmm. But if you just like to make bets here and there, you have the time to do that because everything is so accessible, you know? And I think now you're starting to see players, young players, that one, are not paying attention. Not to say they don't know the rules, but they're not really paying attention to the rules. It's sort of that lax thing. Like, yeah, I know they're there, but, you know, that they ain't going to care if I bet while I'm, you know, sitting out in my car in the parking lot on a hockey game or a college basketball game. They don't care. Well, in actuality, the rules state you cannot bet on NFL premises.
Right.
You know?
So that's
but guys, you. Yeah, the guys know it, but they're thinking like, man, they don't really mean like in a parking lot, do they? Or do they mean just in the building? Or do they really mean on a plane?
It's the IP address, Derek. That's what all the guys got busted for.
And they're finding out. And they're going to continue to find out who these guys are.
And that's on, I put that on the league itself for not clarifying that. And if that is the case, if players are like, well, you know, they don't really mean it, then that's on the players.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, the 32 Thoughts podcast will join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063 The Game.